Any modifications to the agenda?
No.
All right. Motion to adopt?
Move to adopt as presented.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approval of minutes from the May 15th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Abstain, because I was not here. Public appearances. Would anybody like to address the committee?
Jim O'Rourke, 339 Oakwood Avenue, the former co-chairman of the Village Railway Bike Ped Committee. A little later on in here, you're going to be giving a report on the street reconstruction, and Mr. Rafter has been giving me a very hard time on getting information on why the 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue was removed permanently from the capital improvement plan, and only after objection from a citizen it was put back on. I'd like to know what the condition of Oakwood Avenue was, the sewers and water. It's my understanding it was tile and cast iron, and it needed replacement, but that was permanently removed when the West St. Joseph Street project needed new sewer and water. So I'd like to know why the money from 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue was shifted over to the 300 block of West St. Joseph, and West St. Joseph was moved from a $200,000 resurfacing project to a $900,000 complete rebuild that included new sewer and water that would also service the new Old Chapel Hill Apartments PDD and TID project. So I had a meeting with Brad, and I would just like to see something written down why Oakwood Avenue, the condition of the infrastructure under Oakwood Avenue was deemed perfectly fine after being told that it was needed to be replaced, and then the opposite happened on West St. Joseph, why the infrastructure on West St. Joseph was just going to be a resurfacing and then all of a sudden it needed to be completely redone. I see that street every day, and I did notice last year, now it's a year and a half ago, sewer work was being done on there and resurfacing was being done, and I'd like to see it written down instead of just a meeting with Brad or a meeting with Mr. Rafter. And I got a lot. I wrote a letter 3 years ago. Mr. Rafter took it upon himself to make a ridiculous slide presentation and attack me at a meeting.
Okay, we're not going there.
And this goes back 3 years, and I would like this. I alerted you guys 3 years ago to the problem, and I would like to see it addressed.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll
cover the reconstruction update, and then if you have any questions after that, I'd love them in writing, and then we will see about getting you answers, but I want very specific questions.
Well, that was the question.
In writing.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 4, Riverside Drive, Highway 57, crosswalk at Highway 172.
There's on the screen to the right, I've got a picture of the Riverside crosswalk at Highway 172 on and off ramps. We had reviewed this crossing last fall, and we had a number of questions for the DOT. The questions relating to driver compliance, motorist compliance, at the intersection, drivers have been drifting, have been encroaching into the crosswalk, and we had discussed possible improvements to prevent that. And we looked at signage, we looked at the location of the lights, we looked at landscaping features on each side, and there were a number of things that we had done to improve it, to improve visibility. We had done some trimming to the brush, on the east side. The DOT had put up a sign, stop here on red, with a downward arrow at the stop bar. I think there was one other thing that we had done to improve this. And a question came up, if we could modify the way that we mark this crosswalk. Right now, the crosswalk marking consists of 2 6-inch transverse crosswalk lines. The question had come up by Trustee Harris, if we could look at a different way to mark this to improve the visibility and the hope of having the motorists stop in advance of the crosswalk. I had done some little research, and DOT allows two types, the type shown and a ladder pattern that would consist of 24-inch markings spaced marked longitudinally to the pavement, spaced 4 feet on center. The markings would be 6 feet long. We had reached out to the DOT. I had an email reached out to the DOT to ask if the ladder type pattern would be acceptable, and they had said no, that that wouldn't be acceptable for this situation, for this condition. That the ladder pattern type would be applicable at mid-block crossings and where there are traffic-related issues. And I have sent an email back to him asking for some more information, and that we would like to pursue the ladder pattern type that the city of De Pere, that they're currently marking their crosswalks in De Pere that way on Riverside Drive. Is it Riverside Drive in De Pere?
It's Broadway.
Broadway, thank you. It's been since explained to me that is a connecting highway that the city of De Pere has maintaining authority on that section of highway. I have not gotten a response yet back from the DOT, and I'm waiting. The traffic engineer that I talked to said that you'd have to talk to the marking and sign supervisor. So, if posed the question, hopefully they're open to a different type of marking here for visibility and safety reasons.
Well, and if they don't like our solutions, ask them what theirs would be.
Well, this is acceptable, yeah. And
but they're saying it's not?
No, this is. This is
the ladder is.
The ladder is not, no.
The two blocks.
Yeah, but that's not working.
They think that it is. This is the standard crosswalk marking that they use.
Well, if we can say that this area has safety issues, or where's the other one?
Yeah, and what I had in an email to the DOT, here's what I had put in an email to the DOT. The Village Board is seeking additional information of why the 24-inch ladder pattern is not allowed. Ladder pattern, if used, would be more visible to motorists. It would be installed at all three crossings for uniformity purposes. It would match crosswalk markings placed by De Pere to the south, and in some cases would be placed at mid-block uncontrolled crossings, Sunset Circle, and Marine Street, and overall improve safety. Please provide further explanation by noon today. And he got back to me today and said that the marking and sign supervisor was out and he wasn't able to talk to him. So I'm hoping to hear from the DOT before the Village Board meeting next week, Tuesday, and I can provide an update at that time.
Very good. Yeah, thanks for staying after.
Yeah.
I suppose colored stamped concrete, I don't know what the rules are on that, because I see that going in a lot of places now, too. But that sounds more expensive and dissimilar materials, and I don't know the other drawbacks would be.
They were planning that one. If they were to redo Riverside Drive, they were talking about doing that at certain areas.
It certainly looks better, and it sets it apart.
The color markings?
Mm-hmm.
I should point out that the ladder pattern crosswalk marking it's not cheap, and roughly speaking, it would cost somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 to mark this crosswalk. If you do that at all three, and I think you would for uniformity and consistency reasons at Marine Street, at Highway 172 and at the Hawk Crossing at Sunset. We're roughly speaking about $18,000 to $20,000.
What drives the cost to that?
Epoxy. You're not going to use paint. You're going to use epoxy. It's going to last longer in these conditions with the amount of traffic. And two, the traffic control that you'd have to put up. In order to market, you'd have to market in stages and phases. You have to close one lane at a time. And because it is a DOT highway, you would have to follow DOT standard details for lane closure. And that would, on this, would require a bunch of barrels, aeroboard. So that gets expensive. Okay. You got to continue to move that process. And it's the mope. It's the mope cost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Can I just point out there's two pedestrian safety islands there that are very effective. People use them all the time. And so when we talk about safety islands, there's two of them there. That are very good. My board is on. I did hit the wrong one.
It may help if we were to ask Jason for the number of citations that I issued in that general area for speeding, reckless driving, because there are, I think, there are quite a few.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll do that for him. That'd be great.
All right. Any further discussion on four?
Just the other thing that I was looking for before, the other kind of exception, pedestrians during the presence of pedestrians during peak hours or a demonstrated operational or safety issue. So I don't know if there's a lot of pedestrians during peak hours, but that would be another argument that's written in their own rules. But.
Yeah, I don't know how many people use that crossing. I would hope that we provided enough reasons why it would apply.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll consider it.
And the trail along here at Chill, kind of down there, I mean, that was meant to promote safely getting people from Webster to the trail.
Yes.
So we get them almost there, and then it's tough again, you know, to get across. Webster's a challenge as it is.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to be on the west side of Webster, come around the curve, then you're kind of okay, but then you get to the bottom, and then you have this to deal with. So.
Okay, number five, intermunicipal agreement for the sharing of equipment and services.
Included in your packets is an intermunicipal agreement for the sharing of equipment and services. The Northeast Wisconsin Public Works Directors had put together this agreement to simplify the sharing of equipment and employees or staff or services. We felt that it was needed to protect one another when we share equipment and staff. The agreement provides the following. It holds the communities harmless of any claims or liability. The providing party or providing community harmless of any claims or liability. It clearly spells out who's responsible for the repair of any damages beyond normal wear and tear.
That would be the using part?
Yes, the using part, yeah. In the event that a community needed to borrow personnel or staffing, it clearly indicates that the employees are not the employees of the requesting party, that they remain the employees of the providing party. By signing this agreement, it allows us to respond quickly when needs come up. And I would recommend to this
and
committee.
It's worked well to date. We haven't had any issues, correct?
Well, we don't have a signed agreement yet. But if all of the communities have agreed to sign this,
okay.
Right now it's a
handshake. But we've been doing it.
We have been, yes, yeah. And we haven't had any issues. a great example: last fall we had borrowed a skid steer from the City of Green Bay, We had it for a week and a half to assist with the construction of that swale. When we were done using it, the guys greased it and cleaned it and returned it. Luckily, there were no issues when we were using it. It didn't break down and nobody was hurt. But in the event that that would have happened, we wouldn't have had an agreement in place. Now, hopefully in the future, we do recover those things.
Who drafted the agreement?
City of DePere.
Did Randy review it?
Randy had sent it to Brad earlier this week for Randy's review. And he may have already reviewed it. Now, this was something that was in the works before I started. So he may have already. I don't know.
Yeah, he hasn't responded yet to this one.
I thought some parts of it seemed unclear, like they mentioned owner and B2, but what's the owner? And you can tell what it is if you're reading it and you're understanding it, but it just doesn't spell it out until later they say owner and then parentheses providing party. But as long as our attorney looks it over and he's happy with it, then.
And there's some other minor edits that need to be addressed. The page number on the bottom. I think there's some misspelling in there. So.
It's a somewhat similar to when we did that joint purchase with Enchwagon, the stump grinder. Everything was laid out. Who's responsible for what? You're responsible for any damage when it's in your possession.
So you're looking for a motion?
Yes.
Yep. I'd make a motion that we recommend the board enter into this agreement with any changes recommended by our attorney.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? WDOT Surface Transportation Block Grant Application for Libel Street.
So I started to put together a DOT Surface Transportation Block Grant for Libel Street. End of April, we were notified by the Brown County Planning Commission that roughly speaking, $689,000 had been reallocated from a project back into the TIP, and the TIP would be the Transportation Improvement Program. And Libel Street is currently on the TIP, and it is currently ranked second amongst all the projects. And they have indicated that money would be available as a result of this reallocation of funds. Money would be available for the design of Libel Street, and have informed us to get in a grant application. I have started to dig into it, and I'd like to bring up Libel Street. There are some challenges that we do have to overcome. The project would be a rehabilitation project with the addition of sidewalk. On the west side from Green to Alloway Avenue, and then the east side of Libel Street, north of Beaupré to Culp Street. The project limits would extend from Highway 172 at the south end north to Culp Street. Craig had submitted an application to the MPO when he had submitted Libel Street for the TIP, Transportation Improvement Program. And I need to take that information now and insert it into a DOT grant application. But I want to make sure that we adequately scope this project. Because if you're driven Libel Street, and we'll bring it up on Google Earth, building sidewalk on the west side of Libel will be a challenge. There's some huge trees on the west side. From the back of curb, the topography slopes up to the homes. I believe in order to build a sidewalk on the west side, we're going to have to narrow the roadway. We're going to have to move the curb and gutter in on the west side to provide enough space to build sidewalk.
But that will slow traffic down, which can be a good thing because we get a lot of complaints about speeding along Libel. How about the railroad trestle?
The project would end south of.
Okay. Yeah, it's called. Okay. Because I'm thinking there's no room under there besides what we've already got.
There's already not enough.
No, yeah. And the sidewalk underneath there is really narrow.
You can't take a baby trailer under there?
Would that eliminate parking in Libel?
Yes, it would. I think it would.
This is just not the mission.
Do you want to? Could you start at 172? We'll go from south to north. I'm just starting to look at as-bills to look at the roadway right away, the width of the roadway right away. We know what the roadway width is, and look through Craig's files to see what he had proposed. And my hope would be that by Tuesday of next week that I've got a draft application and I have a draft scope and cost put together for this.
Would this have bike lanes?
Yes. The application that Craig had submitted to the MPO for the TIP included bike accommodations and sidewalk. And that was the reason why this project scored as high as it did, was because it was a multimodal facility. So here's Google Earth looking north down Libel at 172. But if you want to continue to go north, you can see that there's sidewalk on both sides. In this particular area, we would have to come in and probably remove and replace a lot of the driveways. Unfortunately, the sidewalk through the driveways does not meet DOT standards. The driveway slope needs to be 2%, and on top of that, you have to meet certain certain percent of grade when you come from the driveway up back to the sidewalk.
From the street to the sidewalk?
The sidewalk profile.
Okay.
And that isn't so much an issue through here, but the big thing is that the sidewalk cross slope is greater than 2%. Well, actually, 1.5%. DOT requires that the sidewalk cross slope be 1.5%. The other thing I should point out is that there's narrow boulevards, but I don't know that, you know, it'd be something that we could look at possibly incorporating into this project. But if we're going to be moving the curb and gutter in between Green and Alloway Avenue, maybe that would extend further south to 172, and that we would reconstruct the sidewalk on the west side. Or I don't even know that we'd have to reconstruct it, but move that curb and gutter into to gain a wider boulevard.
So this is going to go hand in hand with the reconstruction of Libel?
Rehabilitation. Yes, it's one project. Yeah. So what we would do here would be a spot repair at curb and gutter on the east side, on the west side. Again, where are we now, Brad? We're still south of Mission.
Zesties.
Almost Zesties.
Okay. The road improvement would be a rehabilitation. They would come in and pulverize the roadway, blade it, compact it, and then repave it.
So there's not an opportunity because it's not flat on the east side, so it's not an opportunity to shift the roadway.
No, I think we would. I think we would shift the roadway a little bit.
We would.
Yeah. We may have to. Again, I'm just starting to dig into this, and by Tuesday I would hope that I'd have a better understanding of the scope of the project.
So any side that would be shifted, obviously there would be no repairing or salvaging of any curb and gutter, because that entire...
Yeah, if you keep going north, Brad, on the west side of the roadway, you do have new curb and gutter from, say, 172 all the way up to Alloway Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You'd remove and replace in its entirety, all of it, on the west side. On the east side, then it would be spot repair.
Okay.
Repair curb and gutter that's defective, in addition to spot repair of sidewalk that is defective.
Although if you shifted the roadway, the curb and gutter on the east side would
stay. We would hold that edge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was talking about maybe shifting the whole thing if you need more, but you don't need to.
Well... I need to look at as-built. I need to get an understanding of right-of-way width, whether or not the roadway is centered in the road right-of-way, and how much right-of-way we have available on the west side for sidewalk. We're at green right now.
Yep.
The other thing that we would cover under this project, all of the curb ramps would be brought up to ADA standard. If you pan over, this one might be. It is the truncated dome. The slopes and grades appear to be appropriate for that curb ramp. I'm sure the one on the other side would be too.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Oh no, that one would have to get updated. Again, we'd have to look at where the right-of-way is. Is it along the back edge of the sidewalk? Is that a half foot off? There have been new DOT detail drawings that have come out for curb ramps, and the requirements have changed. And those requirements now require a bigger footprint and would likely require, at a minimum, a TLE, temporary limited easement, to grade on somebody's property, or acquisition of a right-of-way property. On the west side, this would be the area where we'd add sidewalk. And we may have to move the curb and gutter along the west side inward to gain some space. Here's a huge tree.
Well, and it's a beautiful tree-lined street through there. That part of Lyle is just fantastic with all the trees.
Yep. The other thing that you can't really see very well, Google Street View, is the topography on the west side does slope up. Keep going. Keep going. We'll get back into the trees. We definitely want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
They're huge, and we want to avoid those.
Can you?
Is it?
You think you can?
I think we're going to look at, we need to find out where the right-of-way is. Are the trees within the right-of-way?
I don't think so.
They're not? Definitely need to try to avoid them.
There's a few here and there that aren't, but the majority of it, no.
And I drove the project last night, and I was hoping that because it was a rehabilitation, not a reconstruct, that it was a simpler project. But that's not going to be the case. Because
none of ours are simple.
Another's right on the corner.
You know, right here would be a good example. All these curb ramps need to be updated on the east side. We'd have to build a curb ramp on the west side. If sidewalk, we scored highly because of the ped and bike accommodations. So we have a commitment. We're committed to building the sidewalk and the bike lanes, making improvements to the curb ramps.
So what are the challenges with shifting the road to the east? We wouldn't be able to.
One of the drawbacks would be that we'd probably lose parking on that street.
In total, or
Well, that is yet to be determined. Right, we could possibly provide parking on one side, eliminate on one side. Oops.
So that's just sort of bring up Round Dog. And how much of a grant do you expect to get or apply for?
I have the numbers here. Roughly speaking, there's $689,000 that was made available to the design of two projects, not for the construction. Now that would be another application that we would submit later this fall. We've been told that that we would the funded just under 80% of our design cost. Our design cost, anticipated design cost, is roughly speaking
$355,000. And they would give us
80%. Yep.
About 250.
Right. Yep.
Do you have enough built into the budget to make the difference?
We don't. I don't think we have even budgeted for this project yet. The design wouldn't get started until 2021.
Okay.
With the construction to take place in 24.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
The project does get a little bit easier north of Alloway Avenue. The roadways. Narrower. We have walk on both sides. We keep going. So in this segment of the project, we would just come in and rehabilitate. We'd come in and pulverize, repave, remark, improve all of the curb ramps, remove and replace defective curb and gutter and sidewalk. And that would be fairly consistent all the way up to Beaupré. Right just south of here, then we'd start sidewalk on the east side. And then it would be we'd fill in that gap, and then we'd have walk from on the east side, then from Alloway Avenue, well, I guess from 172 all the way up to. That'd be we would address that. Right now there's a curb flume there. We would replace that with a storm inlet and storm sewer stub and remove the curb rep spillway. Sidewalk would go right through there.
Yeah, plenty of them there. Those trees are set back quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Challenging to one of the project would end called. The challenging section of this project is from 172 to Alloway Avenue on the west side. Mm-hmm. How we move the roadway so that we can build a sidewalk on the west side and not impact the abutting properties, or minimize impacts for the abutting properties. So this is just for discussion.
Do you consider options like not having the sidewalk be completely straight? like on green,
yeah, I believe
there's
some
areas where especially this. With the trees.
Yeah, at the last resort, yeah. If you can't, yeah, that is an option, yeah.
Because some of those huge trees, you can't grow them in our lifetime.
No, I wouldn't want to cut them down.
So, yeah, thank you.
We did a little of that on Brookridge, right? Didn't we go around a tree or two there?
Yeah.
We have. So, excellent.
Great.
2019 street reconstruction update.
I have handed out an update that we had put together earlier this week. Debbie has posted this on our website. What we're trying to do on a weekly basis, provide an update to the businesses and residents on our street projects this year. Here's what we have prepared this week. And I can quickly give you an update on construction. The contractor has not yet started work on Longview. Martha Avenue, the underground infrastructure, has been installed. We're waiting to construct the roadway until after the developers come in and pour their basements, and then we'll come in and build the roadway and put down the asphalt.
Have we heard anything from the developers?
A little bit. If I'm not mistaken, Hillcrest Homes is building the West Home.
Okay.
The other lot was sold, and I don't know who who might be building there.
The one on Martha Fishing Road.
Yep. And then the one up on Webster that's still owned by Mr. Johnson and his son, and they intend to build their home, or build a home.
St. Joseph's.
So they're not building the house behind that one?
Yeah, that's the one that Hillcrest Homes is going to be doing that work.
Oh, he's Hillcrest?
He's not Hillcrest, no.
Is he planning to do any building?
I don't
know. Other than the house on...
That I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I thought that was their plan to actually do the building.
It was, but they ended up selling two of the lots.
Okay.
With the same stipulations.
St. Joseph Street, contractor is currently installing utilities. For the most part, the utilities have been installed at the west end of the project. Next week, they'll be installing the utilities at the east end. When the utilities have been installed, then their excavating crew will come in and start to build the roadway. The utility crew currently working on St. Joseph Street anticipates moving over to Longview middle to end of next week to start on Longview. Oakwood Avenue, Oak Hill, and Summit, those projects haven't yet started. We have a pre-construction meeting on Tuesday with the contractor, and the contractor anticipates to start moving in equipment middle part of next week, with construction beginning on the 24th on Oakwood Avenue at the west end. They're going to start installing utilities. Give you a quick update. It's not on here, but the street repair project. And Jeff and I are currently putting together the contract for the street repair project. And that includes Warren Court, Woodrow, Brookridge, from Alloway Avenue to Libel, and Bull Parade from Webster to Libel. We're hoping to have that contract finalized by Friday this week, and that we'd begin advertising that project next week, Wednesday, with a bid opening of July 15th.
What kind of a scope is that?
That is what we call street repair. That would consist of, it varies a little bit. On Morton Court, it's a reconstruction project, full depth reclamation, come in and remove the pavement and curb and gutter. On Woodrow and Brookridge, it's a rehabilitation. We're going to come in and pulverize the roadway and repave with a spot repair to curb and gutter. On Beaupré, that would be what we call a mill and overlay. We're going to come in and mill to a 2-inch depth and put down a new surface course. There's another project that we're currently working on right now. The hopes to get that contract out shortly after we begin to advertise the street repair project. And that project would include Blackhawk, the reconstruction of Blackhawk in the underground utilities from Libel east to, roughly speaking, the midpoint of the curve, and then the construction of the old river condominium trail project. So, got a lot going on, and we're busy. And that time of the year, we got a lot going on with construction, too. Jeff is doing a great job overseeing both projects. We hired two inspectors to assist. Things are only going to get busier with the other project starting in the near future. So.
Very good. Any concerns on anything?
No.
What?
The weather actually has been decent, with the exception of today. So,
nice job.
St. Joseph contractors have been great.
Thank you.
They get rave reviews tomorrow.
The other thing we're trying to do too, on a weekly basis, we're trying to go out and meet with the businesses, at least give them a quick update at the beginning and the end of every week.
Nice, sir.
When we have availability to just say, hey, we're going to be working on this next week. Your driveway may or may not be impacted, or your services are going to be shut off temporarily.
I was in and out of HMU today, and they were excellent. So So.
Okey-doke.
All right, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
All right.